In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 20. Jeremiah 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, "The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Mizaviv. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. It is a very interesting word from the prophet here in chapter 20. In the first portion, I have that as verses 1 through 6. We want to note the courage once again of Jeremiah. It's okay that we've noted his courage so much because we're going to see some difficulty in the heart of the prophet later on in the chapter. It's not tooting his horn. It is simply stating the greatness that the Lord to which the Lord raised him up. He was indeed that brass wall, that brazen wall before the people. So we agreed together in the last hour that chapter 19 was a rough chapter, a hard chapter, that there were many things prophesied against Jerusalem and Judea, and that it was not going to go well for them. And so guess what? There are other people that agreed that that was not such a good thing. This guy, Pashur, the son of Immer. So Immer is the priest. Pashur is the chief governor in the house of the Lord. And he heard that Jeremiah had prophesied these things. Well, he had some authority. He was a part of that government, that ecclesiastical government. And remember that in ancient Israel, the ecclesiastical government also had a guard. They had a guard that was used, it was supposed to be used primarily to protect the temple, but they used it for other nefarious things as well. In the days of Christ, we see that that guard had a lot of power to arrest and other things. So here, they send that guard and they arrest Jeremiah. They put him in the stocks. They strike him. They leave him in the stocks overnight. And the thinking is, implied anyway, the thinking is a night in the stocks will bring him some reason. If he spends a night in the stocks, that'll soften him up such that we can bring him before us in the morning and get him settled down and send him away without much more event. Is that where Jeremiah was at, though, in the morning? He wasn't softened up by the stocks at all. They bring him before Pashur, and he says, I'm going to start calling you by a new name. Your name will no longer be Pashur. It will be Magor Mizabib. And Magor Mizabib means fear on every side. Oh, you're riding pretty high right now, but the time is coming when you will be compassed about with fear on every side. You will tremble. You will shake. You will see that judgment come that I have prophesied. So notice that Jeremiah has not been ill affected by his night in the stocks at all. Rather, the Lord has sustained him to continue to preach the truth, and he has spoken not disrespectfully, but he has spoken the truth in love to Pashur. All right, so then I will make thee a terror to thyself, to all thy friends. They shall fall by the sword of their enemies. Everything will be carried away to Babylon, including you. And then you will also be carried away to Babylon, and you will die there, you and all your friends. And then notice the end, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. Jeremiah had prophesied on the one hand, but we have already heard, haven't we, that there were a number of other prophets that were prophesying peace, peace, when there was no peace. Perhaps Pashur was one of them. So that takes us down through verse 6 then. And so we have the Magor Mizabib, the fear on every side. Of course, that's going to be mentioned again in verse 10. Now, in verses 7 through 13, let's go ahead and put those two sections together. Notice what Jeremiah does here. Jeremiah, if you will, lets down his prophetic guard. If there is a place, a proper place for Jeremiah to express his fears, it's going to be privately before the Lord. And that's what he does here. Notice that he is in every public venue, in every public event that he's been brought to, up into the reading that we've come to here in chapter 20, he has been that brazen wall. He has been firm. He has stood steady as a stone in all places. But notice that the steadiness that is so evident in public is then perhaps not so evident in private as he comes before the Lord. And he says, Lord, you have deceived me. Now, this is a hyperbolic statement. The Lord is not, quote unquote, a deceiver in that sense. What Jeremiah means is, Lord, here's what I expected. I expected that in preaching the truth to this people, they would turn. that I would speak to them and they would say, certainly this is a prophet indeed, and they would repent. But instead, what happens? I've been arrested, put in the stocks overnight, been smitten, been struck. This is not what I expected, Lord. I've been deceived. Whether it's by my own heart or not, I've been deceived. My expectations were something completely different. But thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, listen to this. Since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Every day, Jeremiah bore mocking and derision because of his preaching. Isaiah was commanded, right, to preach until the cities be laid waste, till eyes are shut and ears are stopped. Jeremiah's ministry is very much the same kind of ministry. Would we say that by that then, that it is not successful? So often we're caught off guard, aren't we? We're caught measuring the success of a ministry according to human standards rather than divine standards. So the successful prophet is in derision every day. I remember one preacher, a modern guy, said, you know the problem with ministers today is that nobody wants to kill them. You've heard that, maybe. They wanted to kill Jeremiah. They hoped, rather, to soften him up. But we're going to see a little bit later on that more moderate expression soon gave way. All right, so then what is his confusion? I'm sorry, what is his conclusion to all of this? I said, verse 9, I'm just going to stop prophesying. This is too hard. It's too difficult. It's not easy, and it would just be better, it'll just go better for me if I just pipe down, if I just be quiet. Let's do that instead. And he found out that was actually worse and not better. Thy word in me was a fire in my bones, raging to get out. I couldn't stop. I had to speak. One of those men that will cite this in a later history in the 19th century, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, will quote Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 in his book, Lectures to My Students. How can you tell if you're called to the ministry? If you can do anything else, that's how you can tell. If you're called to the ministry, if you can do anything else, do it. That means you're not called to the ministry. But if that word in you is a fire shut up in your bones, and you become weary with forbearing and could not and cannot stay, that is a sign that you're called to the ministry. So, then we come to verse 10. And Jeremiah in 10 through 13 commits his case unto the Lord. No longer is he the minister that is afflicted. No longer is he the minister that once thought to be quiet and could not. Now he is the minister who hears the fear on every side of all those who are his adversaries. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed. Then verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. He's back to the brazen wall. He commits his case to the Lord. Although publicly, it seems, he never wavered. Privately, he brought his difficulties to the Lord, and the Lord strengthened him. So this takes us then to the end of that section, verse 13. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. And I haven't mentioned this up to this point, but Jeremiah has evinced himself all through this work thus far as a student of the Psalms. And we hear the echoes of the Psalms there in verse 13. Now we come to verse 14, and we have... Well, we need to be very careful how we speak about the prophet here. We hear things like this, don't we, from the men of God. We understand that they are weak. There's a point at which Moses will stand before the Lord. And he says, if this is how you're going to deal with me, just kill me now. Right? Don't let me go on like this. What does Jeremiah say? Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him glad. Let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, because he slew me not from the womb. Well, I think what we have to understand in hearing things like this is the honest and open heart of the prophet. And this is how difficult the ministry is in his day. I can't say that the ministry is that difficult in these days. I can say that it is fraught with difficulty, and that there are that the difficulties that are within are perhaps greater than those that are without. But Jeremiah is candid here, and we must commend him for the candid nature of his complaint, of his crying out unto the Lord. And yet, we're never going to see him falter. We're never going to see him fail. In the midst of the struggles of his own heart, and doesn't it comfort you to know that a man like Jeremiah can wrestle so deeply with difficulty and yet never fail to preach the word of the Lord publicly? That's what fascinates me about this passage. Here you have a very human prophet. But when he stands in the gate, he is as a thousand. He cannot be defeated. He cannot be turned back. But then privately he goes back and spends time alone with the Lord and bears his soul before the Lord. And may I say it this way? That I think the one leads to the other. I think that Jeremiah's candor, honesty, and pouring out his complaint before the Lord leads to that greater strength, such that when he stands in the gate, he has the heart of a thousand lions before his enemies. Well, the chapter ends there. If you have the time and would like to look it up, I found Matthew Henry's commentary on this section very helpful, if you want to take time to look that up later. Well, let's stand and continue.